This podcast is brought to you by Telegraph Local, telegraphlocal.com, the web's only real opinion-free breaking news platform. At Telegraph Local, our team reports and delivers real facts for real reporting. In this day and age, facts are extremely important. Facts matter. Real news matters. The only real place to find these facts is on telegraphlocal.com. So if you, like many, many, many others, are tired of the same misconstrued reality of the world and of the current aggressive political landscape, come on over to telegraphlocal.com. We'd love to have you. Read, comment, share. Telegraph Local, your opinion-free news headquarters. Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Monday, June 29th, 2020. Welcome to TelegraphLocal.com's Daily Political Talk Podcast, where we talk about all kinds of fun stuff. Yes, all types of fun political stuff. I know that sounds exciting to you guys. It's an interesting day. We had quite a lot of news that has happened over the last couple days. As you know, we don't record on weekends. So there's a lot to talk about today, but I wanted to really narrow it down because I think we need to spend some more time on the latest in Seattle over CHOP. I think it's a very important topic. I think it shows a lot and tells a lot about where the world is, at least where the United States is today, in regards to just letting stuff fly, just not having anyone stand up and say, wait a minute, you think we're doing this wrong? No one wants to. No one wants to leave their cushy life and their cozy house until CHOP or these protesters and looters are knocking on your front door, spray painting your front door. My question to you is, when does that start? How long are you willing to wait before they're at your front door at midnight? So as we know, CHOP is, CHOP is CHOP. The Capitol Hill guys, over the weekend, they had another shooting. And this isn't the first shooting they've had. Now, remember, CHOP was organized to be something that was, how was it phrased by the mayor out there? It was phrased as being a block party, a street party. Yet it never has been. It never has been a block or a street party. It's been nothing but chaos and destruction. It has interfered with the lives of many store owners, the countless lives of many citizens who live there. It has made people afraid to go outside at nighttime to walk their dogs without carrying guns. The CHOP organizers and protesters have spray painted walls. They have taken over police precincts. They have three shootings now with one death in the last 2 weeks. The police aren't allowed to enter the occupied part of CHOP. The mayor has claimed that she was going to end CHOP Friday. That didn't happen. Then it was Sunday. That didn't happen. Now it's Monday, and it still hasn't happened. CHOP is full of vagrants, homeless people. In fact, it's been invaded by vagrants and homeless people. Businesses in the cities are now suing the city of Seattle. It's become unsafe. There's been accounts of sexual assault. And all this because the mayor felt as though what they were doing, what the quote-unquote protesters were doing, was legitimate. They had a right to do these things. They had a right to take over six city blocks, now down to three city blocks, empty a police department, terrorize the community. They had a right to do this. Like, the community that pays taxes doesn't have a right to have their community, their storefronts, their home safe. So Seattle police on Monday, the police officers are investigating a shooting near the area protesters are calling the Capitol Hill organized protester CHOP. So apparently there's two males that were shot, and they arrived at, I believe, Harborview Medical Center Emergency Department. Both were in critical condition, but as of about 6 hours ago, one is now dead. So now you have one dead. Now, these weren't shot inside the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. These were shot about a block or two away. In fact, the first one arrived at about 6:15 a.m. by private vehicle. I'm assuming that's the CHOP paramedics, probably in the back of a 1994 Ford Escort, or they even have Escorts then, or a little Honda Civic stuffed in the back seat there. I'm not sure which one has died. The second arrived after with paramedics, Seattle Fire Department medics, about 15 minutes later. The Seattle Police Department posted a tweet. Officers investigating a shooting near 12th Avenue and Pike Street. Reports two people injured. More information when available. This was at 5:44 a.m. this morning. Again, 12th Avenue and Pike is a block or two outside of the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, or whatever they call it now, CHAZ, but CHOP. The corner is about exactly 2 blocks away from Callenderson Park. Now, you should know Callenderson Park if you've been following this. Callenderson Park is the park that they originally took over. Callenderson Park also at this current time is riddled with tents, garbage, free food containers, homeless people. Just, it's disgusting. It's full of smells bad. I want to say it reminds me of the Occupy Wall Street movement years ago, but it doesn't. I think this is a lot worse. The encampment is becoming more difficult to manage, tons of violence, a large homeless population, and the occupation is only 3 weeks in. This is not the first shooting linked to CHOP either. Again, the first one was recorded, I believe, on June 20th, and it was a 19-year-old protester who was shot around 2:30 a.m., again, near Cal Anderson Park on 10th Avenue and East Pine Street. This is the third person shot. Officers attempted to locate a shooting victim, but were met by a violent crowd that prevented safe access to the victims. So the police department could not get to them. The officers were later informed the victims, both males, had been transported to Harborview Medical Center by quote unquote CHOP medics. Now CHOP have their own medics. The 19-year-old that died, I'm not sure if he was an actual protester or if there was a drug deal gone bad or whatever happened. But the point is this has gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until it's dismantled. I'm baffled that this has continued for even 3 weeks. CHOP wannabes also tried to set up these autonomous zones in other cities, and it was promptly stopped. But in Seattle, Mayor Durkan just doesn't care. So say she cares, but if she cared, why hasn't she ended this? Why have three people gotten shot with one of them died? Why can't homeowners walk down the street at night without carrying firearms just to walk their dogs? There was reports that parents won't let their kids go out even during the daytime because it's gotten so bad out there. And this is acceptable social behavior to these CHOP organizers who there's no way in the world they have jobs because they – I don't know who's – maybe I don't know. Maybe they're being paid. Maybe they're being paid to protest in the CHOP zone. Maybe we're missing something completely. But this is what we're not condemning. What we're showing the rest of the world is acceptable social behavior. What Mayor Durkan feels is acceptable social behavior. I think that the city of Seattle is going to be getting ready to lose a lot of money in the lawsuit. I think that Mayor Durkan should be recalled immediately. Stripped of her position. Now, that will probably not happen because it's Seattle. The death prompted Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan to announce last week the city would begin efforts to dismantle CHOP, asking organizers to convince protesters to disperse to avoid police intervention. So it took three shootings for this to happen. This was a street party. This was a street festival. A street festival. Which we all knew at the time was a lie. My frustration is, how do we continue to allow this and no one steps up and says, wait a minute, this is wrong. It needs to end now. You have police quitting their jobs and filing early retirement like dead flies. I mean, I don't even know how big of a police department Seattle has left, but I'm quite certain that the ones that are left aren't very happy to be there. It's so frustrating. I just don't get it. You know, when is this going to stop? I don't think we'll ever have an answer for it. I don't think it's going to stop in the next couple of days. I think come Friday, it'll be a different story. In fact, CHOP has other ideas, which we'll get into in a minute, about what they're going to do when they decide to when and if they ever dismantle, where they're going to go to. So they're not really going to dismantle. They're just going to move their organization somewhere else. And that's somewhere else what we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But imagine if this was your hometown or your town or your city. And Minneapolis is their city council literally is going forward with defunding the police. They're not joking. Everyone in the city council unanimously has agreed to defund the police department. They're going to replace them with so-called peace officers. Now, the mayor of Minneapolis is not going for it, but the problem is if you have enough votes, he can't veto. And right now it's unanimous by city council, which means that he can't veto because the veto will be overridden. I guess my question is, what's a peace officer? Are you still going to have the cops just rename them peace officers? Is that the sneaky little trick you're going to do? Because if you're saying that you're going to dismantle the police department, that means you have to go ahead and do it. And I'm curious, I hate to say it, but I think Minneapolis is going to be a great test of what actually happens when you dismantle a police department. And if I was in Minneapolis right now, I would be moving immediately. There is no way in the world I would be sitting in Minneapolis for another week. I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think this is going to return to the major cities back in the 80s and 90s when the crack epidemic came around. I mean, people deserted it. New York City was a ghost town. And I have a lot of friends in New York City, and many of them have been lifelong New Yorkers talking about leaving, seriously talking about leaving, like starting to look at homes in New Jersey or upstate New York. Because this baffling. I mean, they were still protesting over the weekend. New York burning stuff down, toppling statues over, the whole nine. I think NYPD has seen an increase of 25% in police officers moving towards early retirement. Do you know how many cops that is? New York City is the biggest police department in the world, and then they're going to have a mass hiring, which means guess what? They're not going to get the quality of officers that are probably retiring because they're getting a bunch of rookies who have probably never been police officers before, and you're going to repeat the same problem. You're going to put same officers back on the street that you can't vet until they do something wrong. And just, if you can't be baffled over this, there's an issue. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about exactly where CHOP is going to be going next. You're really going to love this one. So sit tight. We'll be right back, guys. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Telegraph Local's Daily Political Talk, telegraphlocal.com. You can read all of these stories at telegraphlocal.com just by simply going to the website. Click Political News, Opinion-Free Political News, and read away. Everything we talk about on the show is already on the website. So again, go to telegraphlocal.com and check the news out. So before the break, we talked about CHOP. The recent shootings, the murder, the one murder, the several other shootings, what it's turned into, that it's not exactly what The mayor claimed it was a street party. Now, anyone knew that was a lie as soon as she said it, but apparently in this day and age, we just accept liars, and we just don't really, we don't look at them as anything negative. In fact, she'll probably be reelected because, you know, a month from now, this would be like it never happened. If these communities want the change that they're talking about, then they need to start that change with the people who govern their cities. This is not up to the president of the United States or the federal government. This is up to the local towns, cities, and communities that have the voting power to change this. So CHOP, in the next few days, well, it's supposed to be on Friday, then Sunday. Today, they're still, you know, they're still in their little three-block radius downtown. So they are coming up with a contingency plan on where they're going to be going next. So as you know, CHOP probably in the next 3 or 4 days will be dismantled. The organizers will have to move. So they have to face a retreat. These guys and girls refuse to give up. They're not going to give up. But even they have said, or at least the organizers, that everything has been overrun with homeless. And that's the exact same thing that happened years ago when they had the Wall Street protest. It was fine for a week or two. They invited everybody in. It's all love and fun until it was overrun with homeless people seeking free food, shelter, and the like. And then all of a sudden, it was problems. The one in D.C. lasted for months in Freedom Plaza. And it was a joke, and it didn't get anywhere. In fact, it died right after the election. Of course, these things only happen during election season. You have to be blind not to see that. And I'm quite certain CHOP will die out in about 3 or 4 months. You won't hear from it again. I'm quite certain BLM, after November, will be quiet as a church mouse, just like all the other political movements during a political season have done. Remember the Me Too movement? How quickly that was stuffed out? What's funny about the Me Too movement was that it was all fun and dandy until they started eating their own. And then virtually overnight, Me Too disappeared because there was a certain political party that decided it was no longer advantageous to have Me Too out and about. And just like that, poof, they were gone. So CHOP protesters are now eyeing an area near the precinct. Remember when CHOP took over, Seattle abandoned a police precinct, just left it there, and the CHOP zone encompassed that police precinct. So now CHOP, instead of being outdoors, open air in a park, which they say has become increasingly hard to manage, they're going indoors. And they're going indoors, you guessed it, they're taking over the police precinct. This is what they claim they're doing. Organizers of Seattle's Capitol Hill organized protest, or CHOP, are attempting to refocus their efforts toward a street outside the East Precinct and away from the tent encampment at Calenderson Park. So what they're doing now is they're going to make their zone even smaller, right? They're going to start barricading right in front of that police precinct. Which, what do you think that means? Do you think they're not going to enter the police precinct? I mean, that's a pretty good last stand, right? They'll be all walled off. And I don't understand why the city just doesn't cut services off to this area. Cut the power off. Cut the water off to that small area. And just let them just fend for themselves. Let them eat their own. And then you don't have to worry about dispersing them because eventually they're going to disperse themselves. So that being said, that would be the best move. Obviously, they're not going to do that. So they're going to probably allow CHOP to move closer to the police precinct, away from the homeless encampment. But what do you think the homeless people are going to do? They're going to follow. Why wouldn't they follow? They're going to follow the food. They're homeless. And the free cigarettes and the free beer and everything else homeless people usually get for free. They're going to follow this. So it's just going to be a smaller, more compact homeless shelter pretty much, or homeless encampment. So the organizers of CHOP, or this particular organizer named Angelica C., we don't even have her last name. I mean, she's an organizer of CHOP, and she won't even give her last name, which is funny in itself. I mean, if you're so proud of your organization, why won't you tell the world who you actually are? She says, basically, it's to bring attention and focus back onto why we're here. Occupy protesters, which is to get our demands met. And the only way we can do that is to occupy this precinct right here. So now the only way they could get their demands met was to originally was to occupy six blocks, which the city, you know, allowed. Then the city shrunk it, talked them into shrinking it to three blocks, right? So they could still get their demands met. Now, or Angelica C. claims that the only way to get their demands met are to occupy the police precinct, which has walls, a roof, and windows, by the way. So they're no longer out in the open. Now they're going to be indoors with walls and a door, which makes it even harder to break that up or to enter that if there's a problem. And believe me, that is their intent. Roughly 3 weeks after the occupation protests began, organizers struggled to secure the park encampment, which has seen violence. Also seen anger of a lot of local businesses and anger of a lot of local residents, and no one can blame them. No one. The encampment has also drawn a fairly large homeless population. Some are now describing the area as a political liability. So, man. So first, they were all about it. Now it's a political liability. It just, if anyone 3 weeks ago couldn't see where this was going, start looking a little bit closer. There's a security guard, a CHOP security guard named Harry Rick Hearns. At least he gives his name. So he spends most of his time cooking barbecue near the precinct. But even he said that Callenderson was a distraction. And I quote, "They need to clean out the whole park," unquote. But if he's security, why isn't he cleaning out the park? If CHOP has its own security, why isn't CHOP security doing the job that they claimed they were going to do to begin with? They wouldn't let police in to do a job, which is security. So now he, Harry Rick Hearns, is security. Why isn't he in there doing his job, his security job? There's also a 23-year-old state, Washington State resident, is one of the parks, who lives in one of the park's tents, told the Seattle Times that he would probably move to the precinct, adding the organizers are routinely forced to go over to the park and deal with security. Why isn't security escorting these bad elements out of the park themselves and cleaning up that park and keeping that park secure? I mean, they can drive shooting victims to hospitals, but they can't keep people from getting shot. They can't provide the own security, the security they claimed that they wanted to have. Most of the protesters actually feel, or the organizers feel, that people go to a Cal Anderson Park to pitch a tent and get regular meals instead of supporting the cause. What cause? What cause? Because you haven't been clear about any of it from day one. But they have goals. CHOP's goals include investing more in Black communities. I mean, these goals change all the time. Reimagining policing in cooperation with community leaders, which is what's actually going on with the police department now, but whatever. And they're also pushing for accountability measures and statewide reform to police unions. But I thought their goal was to defund the police, not reimagine it. It makes us have to worry about extra stuff going on down there that doesn't necessarily pertain to why CHOP's here. This is what Mr. Rook said, who self-identifies as an organizer. But if you're an organizer with your own security force, why aren't you doing this job yourself? You said you could do it. Mayor Jenny Durkin said last week that the city is working with the community to bring the CHOP zone to an end and that police soon would move back into a precinct building that had largely been abandoned in the area. Now they're talking about the same police precinct that CHOP plans on holding hostage, on moving into, who pretty much making that their last stand, right? This is like the Alamo, but nowhere near the reasons why the Alamo made its last stand. This is you literally can't make this stuff up. So CHOP is now going to take their last stand in the police precinct that Mayor Jenny Durkin claims that the police officers are going to move back into any day now. But they're not. I couldn't imagine being a store owner in this at all. It's insane. Just the craziness in the world. Hopefully tomorrow we have better news. I don't know. But we need to talk about, BLM, right? BLM is Black Lives Matter. It means Black Lives Matter. But the reality of it is it's a political movement, and it's obvious because it's not all black lives. And we've talked about this before on the show. Black Lives Matter, BLM does not mean Black Lives Matter. Because if it did, it would be all-inclusive to all Black Lives Matter. Instead, it's only inclusive to black people killed by white cops. That's it. It holds no regard for regular black people killed by illegal immigrants or by Asians or black-on-black murder. They only care about black people killed by white cops. Why? Because that has some sort of political stance, some sort of political value. There's no value in black-on-black crime. There's no value in black-on-black murder. There's no political value on an illegal immigrant killing a black teenager. So don't mistake BLM for a movement. It is a movement, but it's only a political movement. And I guarantee you it'll die out after November, and we won't hear from it again for another 3 years until the following election cycle. Now, obviously, Dems are piling on with BLM, trying to be their buddies and stuff. But what BLM needs to ask themselves is, you've been voting for the same political group for 50 years, and yet you still have to deal with what you're dealing with. What's it going to take for these guys to stop aligning themselves? Just stop voting for any political alliance. Just stop voting, period, and just start using your movement as political force. Or create your own party. I mean, that's your only choice. Because you're going to vote Democrat this time, because although you know they failed you for 50 years, and the next couple months they're going to convince you that they won't this time, and yet they will, because as soon as someone gets elected, it's all over and done with, they'll forget you exist, just like they always have, and they always will. You know, to African-American, to the Democrat Party, African-Americans are nothing but a vote. They could care less, because if they did care, you still would not be having the same damn problems that you have now that you had 50 years ago. That's just fact. But yet, you'll still vote Democrat. It's insanity to me. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the father of a teen who was murdered by illegal immigrants, say that BLM ignored his case. In fact, he says, "I'm black. Where's our help?" We'll talk about that in detail once we get back from this next short break. Stay tuned, guys. Great story coming up. Welcome back, guys, to TelegraphLocal.com's podcast, Daily Political Talk. Today is June 29th. It is hot pretty much everywhere in the country. If you've been listening if you haven't been tuning in, we spent the last about half hour talking about CHOP and the craziness and looniness about the movement, about the so-called movement that no rational person, I think, at this point in time who watches decent news believes is a movement. However, BLM, which is in itself nothing more than a political movement, and the evidence is more than there to back that up. If you don't believe me or don't understand why I'm saying this, listen to the last couple shows or a couple shows before last, or listen to the last 5 minutes of this show before the commercial. So Father of a teen murdered by illegal immigrants says BLM ignored his case. I'm black. Where's our help? Talking about him and his son, who was killed. The father of the black teen murdered by an illegal immigrant in 2008 told Fox and Friends on Sunday that because his son's case was not a matter of police brutality, he received no support from the Black Lives Matter movement. He was forced to mourn on the sidelines by African-American leaders. So he actually approached African-American leaders and got no love, nothing. Why? Because there was no political reason for them to do so. None at all. So they didn't really care to help him or to help bury his or put his son in a gold casket. It seems like Black Lives Matter only focuses on black people who were murdered by the police, Jamil Shaw said. He also goes on to say, you know, my son was murdered in 2008, and I reached out to anybody that would listen, especially black people, because I thought for sure I would have a lot of support in the black community. Get none. Zero support, not any, not 5%, not 10%, not 6 or 2%, none. He goes on to say, but because of the illegal aliens and the way they get all the support in California, no one would jump on board because they didn't want to have to, you know, justify the illegal alien part. So they just let me go by myself. Jamil Shaw Jr., who was 17, was shot in March of 2008 by an illegal immigrant and gang member, Pedro Espinoza, who mistook a high school football player for a member of a rival gang. A jury later convicted Espinoza and sentenced him to death. So he's currently on death row. Thank God. That's great. But BLM did nothing. Nothing. Black leaders did nothing. Politicians did nothing. Why? Because it didn't involve a cop, a white cop. It involved an illegal immigrant. And we know politically, the Democrats have been pushing for all types of benefits for illegal aliens for years. And they certainly can't fight amongst themselves, now can they? So they have to pick a cause. And that cause is only when there is political sway involved. BLM's a joke. And I don't want it to be a joke. And I truly don't think that some people who follow BLM think it's a joke or want it to be a joke. I think they truly want it to be serious. And I get it. I want it to be serious too. I think that if BLM went to the South Side of Chicago, that in the last 2 weeks has had over 200 shootings and multiple deaths from those shootings. Think about that. In the South Side of Chicago, the last 2 weeks, there's been over 200 shootings, closer to 300. And BLM has been mum. They haven't said one damn word about it. There's not BLM representatives in South Side Chicago right now. There's not one BLM representative who's gotten on TV decrying this. But yet when a couple people get shot by white cops, they tear down monuments and statues. They burn down buildings. They loot, rob, and pillage, and murder. But yet, almost 250, I want to say it was close to 250 last people in the last 2 weeks in South Side Chicago were shot. Many of them died. All black-on-black crime, nothing. Everyone is mum. Jamil Shaw Jr. sent a tweet out. He said, this tweet was sent out June 16th at 10:43 p.m. on his own personal Twitter page, saying, when my son was murdered, I reached out to every so-called black leader in L.A., to get help with the murder of my son. Every one of them was in bed with the illegal aliens. BLM and black politicians in LA only support black people who were murdered by the police, period. After appealing to various groups and community leaders for help and repeatedly getting turned down, Shaw's father started to speak out personally against California's immigration policies. Which he blamed for his son's death, and I'm not gonna do that. That's his opinion. I'm not gonna say it is or isn't mine, but something went awry there. Shaw said that all black people should matter. He alleges a double standard among the movement at the forefront of the national protest over George Floyd's death in Minneapolis police custody last month. He said a death at the hands of police should not be some kind of death lottery. Like, yeah, I won. I was murdered by the police, so we get something out of it. Everybody else just gets screwed and has to sit on the sidelines and pretend like, you know, they're getting over it, unquote. A former Black Lives Matter Greater New York member on Sunday said that both parties were to blame for crimes against black people. They go on to say, quote, black people do not trust politicians, unquote. Quote, they don't trust Democrats, they don't trust Republicans, unquote. I guess my question for you then is, why do you continue to vote for Democrats if you don't trust either one? In fact, you should trust Democrats. You know, it's, I hate saying this because I have voted almost Democrat nearly every time I've voted Democrat, except maybe one election. And it sucks to sit here and talk on my podcast and talk about how frustrating it is. But there comes a time to when you actually start reading and you just can't turn a blind eye. You can't not see the reality of the Democrat Party. And again, coming from someone who at 42 years old has voted Democrat most of their life, this BLM, it's insane. How much bullshit comes with this? It's a joke. And I'll say it again. Black people have been voting Democrat for more than 50 years. And the Democrats for more than 50 years have done shit for you, have done nothing for you. Yet you keep voting Democrat. Because God forbid you vote Republican and maybe you get something. Or maybe just don't vote at all. But in November, you will again vote Democrat. Because now it's just like you're conditioned for it. It's just what you do. It's almost like you're a machine. You just think that when you – the only people you can vote for are Democrats. You know, they'll give you some bullshit sob story, and you'll believe it. And the next year, you'll wonder why nothing's still being done for you. 4 years later, but it'll be the same thing. Shaw Sr. characterized the Black Lives Matter approach as, if you're killed by the police, it's okay. We can tear down and burn down buildings. But if you're murdered by illegal aliens, you have to be quiet. He also said the movement has alienated everybody that has been murdered, not by the police, and it's not fair to our loved ones. It's not fair when I watch on TV. The only reason they care is that they are killed by the police. And then they get to tear down the city, burn up everything, loot everything, and nobody's going to jail, he argued. I'm like, man, this is unfair, you know. I'm black. Where's our help? And I'm foreseeing that over the next couple of weeks. You know, I mean, at least we're not as bad as we were a couple of weeks ago when every city was virtually on fire from the so-called Black Lives Matter movement. But I'm only wondering what's next, because obviously the fires are beginning to quell, right? The smoke is beginning to clear. So what's next? What's the next move? What's the next move for destruction? What more needs to be destroyed for a political movement that is saying it's not? Why aren't you in Chicago rebuilding urban housing, offering job training? From what I understand, BLM has raised more than $50 million. And instead of putting it to use in black neighborhoods, inner city black neighborhoods, they're bailing protesters out of jail with it. Anyone who looks at this should see how laughable it really is. And it's frustrating that no one speaks up and that BLM doesn't step up to the plate and say, hey, you know what? We're doing this wrong. Let's do it the right way. Let's be about all black Americans, not just ones we pick and choose for political purposes. And to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to happen anyway. I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, it can't right now because they're in the middle of a political season. So it's not going to happen now. It's not going to happen after a political season because, like everything else, like the Me Too movement, Occupy Wall Street, you know, BLM years ago, back, I believe, in like 2008, the Antifa stuff, it always starts in the political season and always ends right for the election or a few months thereafter. This will too. And we will be good to go until 2024 because all this flares up again. Maybe they'll all get together and do this all again. I don't know what it'll be. I mean, by that time, all the statues will be down anyway. I don't know what they're going to protest after that. Maybe they'll turn to your house if you're wealthy and decide they need to start burning down wealthy people's homes. Why? Because you have too much money. Which, I hate to tell you, is not something that you should shake off at all. Because that's what's next. They burnt down all the buildings. They burnt down all the storefronts. They've torn down all the monuments. All this has been allowed to happen. The only logical next move is your front door. That's the only logical next first move. Because they have nothing else to tear down. Wait and see if this isn't stopped. What's going to happen? Guys, that's all we have today for June the 29th. Please join us tomorrow, and we will we'll do this all again with a whole bunch of new news. Hopefully tomorrow's news will be better. I will try my best to make it better, but unfortunately, the only thing I could really do is talk about the actual news. Other than that, guys, have a happy rest of your Monday. Have a wonderful week. We will talk to you tomorrow, Tuesday, June 30th. Until then, take care.